Here at the Fuel Ethanol Workshop in Minneapolis, with me is Brian Jennings, Executive Vice President of the American Coalition for Ethanol. And Brian, Friday we heard from the EPA. Actually, they were ahead of schedule. Go figure. They were due out today, but they got it out on Friday for the, already very, very late volume obligations under the RFS. For 3 years in a row, 2014, way overdue, 2015, already overdue, 2016, ahead of time. But the ethanol industry wasn't really all that happy with them. Tell us why.
Well, EPA knows the rules of the program because they helped write them. They know the statute because it's really clear. They continue to refuse to follow the statute and to follow the rules the way they ought to. The RFS is designed to compel obligated parties, oil refiners, to make sure E15 and flex fuels make their way to the market. That was the primary purpose of the RFS beyond the greenhouse gas reduction goals. And EPA continues to refuse to trigger that mechanism to ensure that those fuels make their way to the market. And so we weren't happy, and we're going to need, you know, everyone who has a stake in this industry, who cares about ethanol, to do what they did the last time EPA did this, and that is to make comments. I think it was over 300,000 comments made their way into EPA, and that helped EPA withdraw that proposal. We have an opportunity to try to fix this between now and the 30th of November, and it's going to be really important people engage during that comment period, which I think lasts until the end of July.
And one of the things that we have coming up is actually a public hearing that will be held in Kansas City, right?
There is a public hearing in Kansas City on the 25th of June. And what we're going to try to do is get a bunch of retailers who are selling E15 and E85 and other flex fuels to go to that hearing and tell EPA firsthand, face-to-face, eye-to-eye, the blend wall isn't real. Those of us that have the opportunity to sell these blends are doing well with them. Our customers like them. So we're going to try to make sure we get some very persuasive messengers to come deliver a very persuasive, compelling message to that hearing. Retailers, cattle ranchers, ethanol advocates, at the grassroots level, and we'll see what we can get done.
Well, and of course, one of the things they could do that they haven't done just went into effect today. We have E15. You can't sell it in a lot of places because of the summer volatility requirements, and that's something they could do right now.
It's really remarkable how EPA doesn't put enough faith in E15. The agency, after all, approved its use, and I'm still wading through the 120 pages of proposed rule, but they talk a lot about E85, and E85 is great, but E15 is what's going to move volume quickly. Today. It's what's approved for most of the cars on the road. And it seems like EPA doesn't want to do the other things necessary to help make sure E15 gets to the market. And a big one is what you just mentioned, the reed vapor pressure limitation, the fact that they provide the treatment we want on reed vapor pressure for E10, but on a fuel like E15, which has fewer volatility concerns, which is a cleaner burning fuel, they won't grant the same treatment. And so it's mind-blowing, and we've got our work cut out for us.
Well, we have bills introduced in both the House and the Senate that would compel EPA to do that, to allow sales of E15 in the summertime. Do you think that will help?
I think it will help because you have members of Congress from both parties from all over the country. You have a presidential candidate, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, saying, we need EPA to do their job. They know EPA has the authority, but they've said, we're going to introduce this legislation to try and raise the visibility of this issue and make it clear to EPA we want them to do this. And so I do think that helps. I also know that EPA has drawn a line in the sand, and they can be very stubborn. But, you know, we're going to continue to work at this.
Well, and also we had USDA announce, and it couldn't have been a coincidence, increased funding to help put to either put in new blender pumps or higher blends to allow more retailers to sell E15 and higher blends of ethanol. Tell us about your reaction to that.
Well, we're very pleased with that. And Secretary Vilsack at USDA has been the most important supporter of renewable fuels in the Obama administration, bar none. It sort of starts and stops with him, frankly. So we're grateful for that. And we want to learn more about these matching grants that they want to run through the states. There's more that we need to learn about the criteria. But with all due respect, support for blender pumps or flex pumps is no substitute for EPA doing their job. If EPA would have done their job, we wouldn't have to try and devote taxpayer money to get more blender pumps installed. The RINs would have been the economic incentive to help the retailers make that happen in the first place. So we're going to work closely with EPA in the states, or USDA in the states, in trying to get this blender pump money distributed in an efficient way, in an effective way. But it's no substitute for EPA doing their job with the RFS.
Well, plus it's still voluntary, and it still may be, you know, that you have retailers that are owned by big oil companies that won't let them sell the higher blends, so they can't get even put the pumps in anyway, right?
Yeah, the contract, the franchise restrictions that some of these oil companies place on the retailers are very restrictive, and in no uncertain terms prohibit them from selling E15 and or E85, and so that won't change under this. There are some companies that need the economic incentive to go to higher blends. E15 is not cost prohibitive. That's a pretty easy switch for a retailer. To go to a blender pump, to go to E85, does require a little more work, time, and cost. And so this is going to help. And as I say, we want to work with the Department of Agriculture to make this effective.
Well, we had a report out of NREL last week about E15 and about the infrastructure. Tell us about that report and what it said.
I thought it was well-timed, and I wish EPA would have read the thing before they announced their rule. NREL came out and said most of the equipment at the retail level today is already compatible with E15 and even some higher blends in some cases. Everything underground, and that's something that a lot of folks don't appreciate well enough. Everything underground in terms of the underground storage tanks are compatible with E15. In fact, up to E100. So you don't have to, you know, break concrete and install new tanks as a retailer if you want to sell E15. The tanks you're using today for premium and E10 will work with E15. That was maybe the most important thing NREL said. They also said, frankly, most of the stuff above ground is compatible, or the equipment providers are selling this stuff, and it's not cost prohibitive. And the NREL report provided a list of who's selling what E15 compatible equipment, so the retailers can use that as a resource. And we're working closely with the Renewable Fuels Association through the BYO campaign to make sure retailers know that resource is out there.
Well, at the same time, the ethanol industry was not happy with what EPA announced. The oil industry came out and said they weren't happy either. So it seems like they didn't please anybody. Maybe that makes them happy.
I think that does make EPA happy. But here's the thing, Cindy, they have to pick sides. On one side, you have biodiesel or biofuel producers and farmers who have fulfilled their commitment to raise the crops and produce the kind of fuels that reduce greenhouse gas emissions and want this program to be a success. On the other side, you have oil companies who have sued EPA to try and get rid of the program, lobbied Congress to try to repeal the RFS, and scoffed at the president's efforts to reduce greenhouse gases. And who does EPA side with? They side with the guys that want to get rid of the program. It is mind-blowing, and they have to pick a side. This isn't about, oh, we did our job if everyone's unhappy. No, you're going to have to make sure that the oil guys do what they're supposed to do and help fulfill the commitment that the renewable fuel producers have made.
Well, do you think the oil industry is really unhappy, or were they just making noise about it?
They're not unhappy. They're delighted. They're delighted that EPA has disrupted this program on their own. They're delighted that they've taken it off track. But they're masterful with public relations, and they know that if they say they're not happy, that, you know, the media is going to say, well, the oil companies aren't happy either. So hats off to them.
All right. Well, Brian, it's always good to see you here at the Fuel Ethanol Workshop in Minneapolis. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.